Hey, folks, welcome to the Shitstorm Podcast with Mark and Mike. Here we talk about the shitstorm of life events, everything from politics, social, to economics, to anything that deals with the shitstorm that is flung at us each and every day. And we try to uncover a few golden nuggets so you could walk away with a different perspective, maybe even just hearing two sides of people coming together with different perspectives. Find some thing that you walk away with that works for you. I am recording this intro without Michael because we recorded a podcast right in the middle of it, because that tends to happen when him and I get together. We just start talking right away and I have to just record, and we didn't get to do the intro together. So this is a second part of the Kavanaugh hearings. I had a lot more to say about it. So does Michael. And so enjoy. It does get a little heated like it always does, but I think you'll enjoy this one. Here you go.
What do you want to talk about?
So I just want to make sure, look, and I don't mean to get so mad. I very seldom get that mad, but I feel like in this particular subject, it's been an attack, a personal one, and I don't like it, and I don't want it to be that. And so I just want you to understand that's why I wrote those texts. You know, I really don't need to be told what I think. If you want to know what I think, I'll be more than happy to tell you. And the other thing is two things. One, just because, quote unquote, the left may be doing something and you think they want to destroy this good man, I think he's a piece of shit, but it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm left, and I can assure you of that. So, you know, just because – so tying me into anything and everything that might be left to center, A, is fundamentally wrong, because I'm generally a fiscal conservative. And so, you know, but not everything is right and left. I can't stand the fact that you are willing to give the Republicans a complete 100% pass on playing politics with Merrick Garland and being absolutely shitty people. And then the only tool the Democrats have is to seize upon something that they didn't start to try to block it politically. And that's somehow bad.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. Actually, I agreed with you. I agreed this is a political game. I agreed that what the Republicans did during for Merrick Garland, they pretty much made it known what they were doing. They were obstructing.
Well, Mitch McConnell said the most proud moment of my Senate career is when I looked President Obama in the eye
and said, "We're not putting any appointee on the court." I get it.
Right.
I get it.
So this is payback, and there's nothing wrong with payback.
Completely abominably wrong. Gotcha. But I find this, I guess, instance to be a lot more demeaning and pernicious, because they're now politicizing.
Are you recording?
Yeah, I have been recording.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I just record because we just have conversations and sometimes. Yeah, and so I just feel like this is just – is it worse, you know, on a degree? I kind of feel it is. I know it's bad politics. I know what they're doing, and I'm just playing out – when I point out to you the Democrats' – you know, playbook, their plan right now, this is what they're doing. I'm exposing it, you know, and am I saying it's right and wrong, you know, for why they're doing it? I'm not. I'm just pointing out what they're doing. Do I like it? No, I despise it. I mean, do I despise politics and all of it? Yes, I do. But here's what I find the big difference with this right now is I think that they are – see, here's the thing. With the Republicans, when they held back Merrick Garland, they pretty much said, we are just not going to nominate your person on the court because we don't want to. They made that pretty clear.
Because they had the power to do that.
And they had the power to do that. Here's what the Democrats are doing, which I find completely abominable and very different, is that they're using a political pawn. They're using, they're playing politics. Yes, they are. But they're also going a little further with this. Now they're exploiting someone who said she was accused of rape, and they're putting her into the front spotlight. They're saying that now we are going now, and they're also wanting to destroy the career of someone for the possibility over an accusation. I mean, smear his name. I mean, it's become such really, really. Isn't this really? Don't you think that's just very dirty politics now that they want to destroy someone's personality, and they want to destroy personality. Excuse me.
This is hardly the first time in history on either side of the aisle this has happened. You know, I remember very clearly in other instances, whether it was in the Supreme Court or otherwise, when specifically thinking during Watergate, where these guys were being accused of all these things and Nixon's coming out and calling people horrible and this and that, and people going, you're destroying these good men's reputation. And then John Dean admits, no, basically we were doing it. And he testified in the Watergate and he says, I'll take my time in jail. But he goes, no, you guys, I had enough. You guys are all right. This is exactly what we were doing. And I can't help thinking that I said to you earlier, there are 14 people, 14 who've come forward on their own to FBI field offices and other offices and have said, we want to come forward and give our testimony. And the FBI has said the White House will not let us interview you.
I mean, I don't know that information. Where are you getting that from?
CNN. But it's nonetheless, even if it's seven people, even if it's one, they're not even allowed to interview Dr. Ford.
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea is that this is not a full-on criminal investigation. That's why. This is a background check.
But it should be an investigation. We're talking about a man with a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. And if he's innocent, what does he have to fear?
So based on that, I wanted to say that I don't think any Republican pretty much – or anyone would want to have anyone on the Supreme Court who is a rapist, okay, or who raped someone.
He's not being accused of rape, just to be clear. Sexual assault.
Okay.
Different crime.
Right. Rape is a lot more severe, okay?
It's a different crime, yeah.
I don't think they would want anyone that would be, you know, obviously in the high court of the land.
I don't know.
Anyone that would want to be on that.
They backed Roy Moore, who's a pedophile.
So perhaps in this case, because of the evidence is so loose – and why so here's the thing, because if the evidence is so loose against someone and then you go, okay, let's have a full-on investigation to make sure this is the case. Well, if you do that, well, then you risk obviously playing your political game, which is getting your guy on the court. And if you're the party in control, I could see why people go like, no, this could have been done earlier. We could have done this earlier, but, you know, the game is being played right now. So we just see right now this happened as so long ago, and there's too many holes in it. So we're not going to do a full-on criminal investigation. I would say this. If this was, say, something that was much more, say, credible, much more recent, like there was a string, like he had sexual assault throughout his, you know, time as a D.C. circuit judge, I'm sure they would have said, you're probably right, we should have a full investigation. But because it's so darn long ago and there's too many holes in the story and it doesn't hold water, they probably just said, you know what, we're not going to play this political game because it's just going to give you the process of taking our guy off the court and then you
tell
have
– Tell that to the Cosby victims. Tell that to the victims of pedophile abuse by priests in the 60s and 70s. That is not a legitimate argument. It is not. And the very first thing they should have done, and by the way, Dr. Ford asked for, was an investigation into her allegations. Hers. Nobody else's. Hers. And they didn't do that, and they're still not doing that. She is not up. She cannot be interviewed by the FBI. So anything people tell me about the holes in her story and the lack of veracity and this and that, I say bullshit. Don't care. If you're not willing to do an investigation into the person that is asking for one, then you're not really looking for the truth.
Well,
and as far as the Republicans not wanting a sexual predator on the court, they didn't seem to mind having one in Congress. They didn't seem to mind. Trump went down and actually held a rally for Moore, who's a credible pedophile. He was stopped from going to a mall in a deeply red state while he was a Supreme Court justice in Alabama because he used to go and gawk at 14 and 15-year-old girls in the skating rink or whatever the hell, dance class, whatever the hell they were doing. But the Republicans are right there for him, so I don't believe that story either. I think the right has sold their soul. The Republicans, I'm not saying you or anybody else, as a group of politicians in Washington to get the Supreme Court loaded. And they'll do anything for it. They've been waiting a generation and a half because they want to overturn things like gay marriage and Roe v. Wade. And I think I think what they're doing is they think they're going to lose the midterms, and they're probably right. I don't know that with these new allegations about Trump's finances and tax evasion and everything else, he's now under investigation in the state of New York. He very well may be indicted civilly, which he can be, and he might actually have to testify, and he'll lose the presidency. They know that this is their last time.
I don't think so. I mean, if you want to bring up, you know, the news that just came out about that, I just want to go back and comment that, you know,
Well, I'm just painting a scenario. I'm not giving.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I got you. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I really have to read up on the.
Me too. I don't know enough about
the Ray Moore. No, I have to read up on the Ray Moore situation.
Roy Moore.
I mean, I heard about it. This is like before we had this podcast, and I was kind of in and out of this, so I don't know enough to comment on that.
Well, he lost in Alabama.
Okay.
Incredible. Very incredible.
But you know, when these what's happening right now, we have to acknowledge this, is that there's now you say that the White House is not investigating people who want to come forward, and yet you have people that have come forward are saying right now that ex-boyfriend of Ms. Ford is that he was dating her for 6 years, doesn't, and swore under perjury and testimony and written testimony that she'd never nothing about claustrophobia, tight spaces, and that he witnessed her giving tutoring to a friend on polygraph when she stated under oath that she never did such a thing. And then you also
these things should just be investigated. That's fine. But
here's the thing. I get it. They shouldn't be investigated. Right.
But they're not being.
So investigated because the story is now showing that she's probably lying.
No, again, I'd be very careful.
So why would we go that route? I mean, I get it. As Republicans are trying to –
I'll tell you why. We're not talking about a county clerk here. We're not even talking about the president of the United States. We're talking about someone who will have a lifetime appointment. And waiting an extra week or two – they were willing to wait a year for Merrick Garland, almost a year. They were willing to wait that entire time. It was okay to wait in that case. But in this case, oh, my God, we got to have a vote by Friday. This is a lifetime appointment. Why not do a full investigation? So what if it takes a month? So what if it takes a month? It took 9 or 10 months for Merrick Garland. What if it takes 3 months?
Actually, I was just listening on while I was eating lunch upstairs on your favorite channel, CNN, that they had a
actually, I prefer MSNBC.
There you go. Well, both of those are on in this house a lot, and I have actually, I come across it, so there it is, so I'm like, okay, I have to get this as fuel for our debate with Mark and Mike. That they had a former FBI investigator on there, and the commentator asked them exactly about the same thing about prolonging the investigation to full thing, and he goes, well, I'll tell you, I disagree with that. He goes, you can FBI has the resources to investigate it within a day.
Well,
he said, you don't need to do that. But this is not criminal. Gotcha.
I agree with that. What I'm saying is, but when you restrict the list of potential people who can be spoken to, especially those who are coming forward on their own, which you cannot blame on a Democratic conspiracy, then that's what's wrong. Okay, so it would add a few days to the investigation. But so what?
Yeah, you would have to go through to see which ones are credible, which ones are just trying.
But again, the FBI can do that in a day.
Right. I mean, but see, this is where this can start getting to be, okay, well, anyone's just coming out with an allegation, we need to be, talked to. And maybe under a criminal investigation that would be the case, but this is not. This is a background check.
Lying to the FBI is always a criminal activity. It doesn't matter what you lie about. You could lie about eating soup in the morning as opposed to Cheerios.
Right.
That's still a felony perjury.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I mean, you're not going to like this, but they could have done this earlier. But the Democrats held back on it.
So could have the Republicans before Christine Blasey Ford testified.
But they didn't know.
Well, they did know.
No, actually, the Democrats knew. They held on to the letter.
Actually, there's a whole series of questions as how they, why and how they were able to assemble 64 names of people who were credible witnesses for Kavanaugh. They didn't know this was coming. So,
there's a loose association. We have no proof of that. Obviously, these are 64 people that probably worked with Kavanaugh.
I have no proof that they didn't know any more than I have proof that they did. But in any case, when they did find out, they wanted to have her testify on Monday. They pushed it back till Thursday. But they could have used those days to have done at least a preliminary investigation. But they didn't.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say like you just putting it on the Republicans like they should have done this. They should have.
What I don't understand about that statement is, oh, duh, really? A bunch of politicians are playing politics?
No, I'm saying you're saying very similar to what Kristen Gillibrand said. Well, why the Republicans knew they should be calling for it, and so should Kavanaugh should be calling for it. Why would I want to call for an investigation of myself, which I'm pretty sure it's not the truth?
No. The law says the Judiciary Committee is supposed to request the White House to do an investigation. And I'm talking about Christine Blasey Ford, who said, have the FBI investigate me. That's what she said. She didn't say investigate Kavanaugh. She said, look, have them investigate me. and they still said no. And they could have said yes. And they did not.
They did not. Well, they did not because
they were trying to ram it through for that Monday. They got caught flat-footed, so by the Democrats, politics. Sorry, fellas, that's the way this works. This ain't beanbags, man, as Chris Christie said. So then they pushed it out till Thursday. In those intervening 3 days, they could have done a preliminary.
Now it's showing that it doesn't really – the investigation would show exactly what's happening right now. There's holes in her story and that she's been – she lied under oath.
They're still not investigating her. She's the one person who's not being investigated that should most certainly be investigated. How can anybody, you or anybody, say, I'm accusing Kavanaugh. I'm a credible witness. I'm asking for myself to be investigated. Please investigate me. And they say no.
I think she said I would be under investigation. She didn't say please investigate me.
No. She said please investigate me. She did. You can look it up. She asked to be investigated. Hey. Now, why would they say no to that? Under what – if her story is so full of holes, the FBI could have found that out before this entire –
Yeah, but the White House has pretty much said we are not restricting them on their investigation.
That's not what they said. That's what Trump said. And then his lawyer, Don McGahn, said, well, that's not entirely –
Yeah, he said we're not doing a criminal investigation, which we already know that's the case.
No, he said limited in scope investigation.
Limited in scope, yes. And that's what Jeff Flake asked for, limited in scope.
We talked for last time, and I said I approve of limited in scope. But when credible people or people who are credibly coming forward, they should do an investigation.
Who's credible?
No. I'm saying – no, you missed my point. 14 people have come forward. Right?
Yeah, I'm not seeing this. Well, you said this
but it doesn't matter if you see it or not. I can find it for you, but my point is simply this. If anybody, let's say it's one person, I'll find it for you, but let's say it's one person. Somebody comes forward and the White House says, no, don't look at that. Don't look at the drinking. Don't look at the lying that his roommate from Yale said that he did. His roommate from Yale said, I'm uncomfortable because I know he lied to the Senate.
You mean about passing out and drinking? I think that the point is
a lie in front of the Senate is you don't get to pick your lies. That's like eating soup versus Cheerios.
Well, then how come you're not putting the same standard to Ms. Ford right now?
I'm saying investigator. I am. I am 100% giving the same.
I mean, Kavanaugh's just saying, look, I drank in high school. I didn't black out.
They can't investigate the lie.
Yeah, well, he did say that there was contention between the roommate and the friend. So, you know, it could be biased and regardless.
But it's credible. The FBI, as you said,
who decides what's credible?
See, again, this is the Republican talking point, and I'm not.
I'm asking you. I'm actually asking you. Who decides what's credible?
I lived with a roommate for 2 years.
Yeah.
If he sat in front of Congress and said, "I never drank" or "I never blacked out," I'd say, you know what? That's a lie. And the reason I know it's a lie is I lived with this guy for 2 years and I saw him black out a lot.
So. Okay. We don't know. Hold on. We weren't there. We don't know that maybe he saw him come back through the room and then get on the bed and black out and just stayed black out, which is called sleep.
They would go out partying together. He was there. They socialized. He's not talking about seeing his friend. He's talking about going out with him and having him black out. Look at this. Here's another thing. More than 500 law professors condemned Kavanaugh for lack of judicial temperament. I'm sending this over to you.
Yeah,
right
no,
now.
I don't need to read that because I don't think he displayed any kind of inappropriate temperament.
500 law professors think he did. 500. Okay, that's not six.
500 that's law professors did not did. Like his temperament.
That's what it says right here. That's exactly right. From over 100 law schools around the nation.
You're attacked. It's okay when you're attacked, you have to protect yourself. But when your family's on the line, the stakes are a lot higher. And so I don't take his temperament. He didn't show anything that was inappropriate.
What he did is he sat in the Trump White House for 3 days and learned Trumpian tactics on how to do this. Politics. Oh, shit. Does that surprise me? Do I find it incredible that Trump is playing politics? No, but fuck, then don't blame other people. You know, it's politics. It is what it is. But it's also true that if you're going to accuse one side, then the other side should be accused. And I personally wish they wouldn't have stonewalled Merrick Garland. I wish they wouldn't be doing this to Kavanaugh. But you know what? You can say Harry Reid started it, but he didn't start it at the Supreme Court level. He started it at the federal level. It was Mitch McConnell with what's-his-face, Gorsuch, who did the – we're going to break the filibuster at the Supreme Court level. That's a fact, and that's the way it is. So that's politics at the nth degree. I mean, that's – I didn't write that. It's fact. It's a letter signed. It's not fake news. It's a letter signed. Over 100 law schools, 500 professors of law who are all lawyers.
You mean so throughout the whole confirmation process, Mr. Kavanaugh has shown a
– But here, Democrats sent the FBI a list of 2 dozen witnesses they said must be interviewed, just 4 of whom were on the Republicans' original list. So then,
Judge Kavanaugh, throughout the whole judicial process, nomination was composed, poised, and confident, and also and did a great job during the proceedings. But yet, when they came at him personally, it got a little heated, and he showed some emotion.
Number one, it didn't get a little heated. He looked like a fucking temper tantrum. He looked like Trump with not the entire Trumpian quality, but. Go back to 1991 and Clarence Thomas, who was equally attacked, equally personally. And then look at Clarence Thomas's demeanor. And you'll find a substantial difference. You know why? Because Clarence Thomas, for all his faults, has a temperament to be a judge. Go back and do it. This isn't the first case, so you have precedent. You got a guy who was personally attacked by an accuser, sitting in front of Congress, being asked extremely personal and uncomfortable questions, and he sat there with grace and dignity.
But the big difference.
Because
they're asking him stupid questions about high school, about boofing and drinking games, and then anyone who's up there goes the absurdity of this to bring this up as a character assassination.
They asked Clarence Thomas if he ever used the term long dong silver, referred to a fish and chips chain, Long John Silver. I don't know if they're still around or not. Now, that's a silly question.
Understandably so. Am I going to fault Mr. Kavanaugh for being this way? No. Why?
Because he looked like an asshole. Because he
looked like a guy defending his life and making it certain that he
sat in the Trump White House and they said, attack, attack, attack. Here's how you do it. Because it clearly wasn't natural for him. You look at his wife over his right shoulder. She looked like she was going to break down and cry. I mean,
and what point are you trying to make there?
His personality, most people have said, for all of Kavanaugh's faults, which I think are too numerous to bother mentioning, this is not his style. He was coached. Deny, deny, deny. This is what you do. This is Trump in action. And it's definitely, definitely not the kind of person you want on the Supreme Court. At least me. I'm talking me here.
Yeah, when you're on the Supreme Court, it doesn't.
I've been attacked.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting in front of Congress and I'm under oath and a congresswoman asks me a question and I go back at her so badly that after the break I've got to apologize for my behavior, he had to apologize to her.
He did, and he was being respectful. He said, I'm sorry for doing that.
But when he did it, he was completely disrespectful. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to.
The ridiculous questions they were asking him.
No,
I get it.
Completely disrespectful.
Completely disrespectful.
He said, no, she asked, have you ever blacked out from drinking? Well, ma'am, have you? Well, I'm the one asking the questions here.
Yeah.
This is how this works.
Yeah, I mean, like you, I'm not gonna hold that against him for showing signs of just being generally upset and pissed off at the questions. And perhaps
if he just said, I don't know, ma'am, have you? And then goes, I'm sorry, that was inappropriate, I shouldn't have said it.
He did say the right thing. He goes, this has turned into a circus, this is about smear and destroy, and that's what they were trying to do to him up there. He was a pawn in the game, the political game, and he knew it, and he was sick of it. So to express his discontent, I don't feel the same way. I probably would have probably done the same thing, and maybe it wouldn't have been appropriate. I'm glad he did.
I think expressing discontent is one thing. Again, go back and watch Clarence Thomas. He expressed plenty of disdain for what was happening. He expressed his
disdain. There's no doubt he was more composed. I get it.
Not a little more composed. He was fully composed. Kavanaugh looked like a tantrum child.
No, that's exaggeration. I don't think I didn't get a tantrum child.
I watched Did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it.
I watched it. It was like he probably had a mic in his ear with Trump going, say this, do it this way, stamp your foot.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that.
I did.
I was actually glad he was kind of getting emotional about it because
I think it's sad
because
that
if he didn't, then the Democrats would have said something else like, look, yeah, see, didn't even affect him. He's guilty.
Way, you know that's horseshit because Clarence Thomas got approved by a Democratic Senate. The Democrats were in control in that committee.
Different Democrats, different political game.
Some of the Democrats were exactly the same, and many of the Republicans were the same. That's not true.
That's right. Most of the Republicans were the same.
That's not true. That's just not true.
Well, you didn't have Kamala Harris. You didn't have Mr. Booker.
Well, Kamala Harris asked a very good question. Can you name a single law that legislates against men's choice? And he hemmed and hawed, and then she goes, no, Senator, no, just Judge, that's not what I asked you. And he finally answered and said, no, ma'am, I cannot. That wasn't an attack, by the way. He just looked stupid. I knew there was no law. That was a setup question. He should have said no because he knew the answer was no. He just looked stupid.
Just like Kamala Harris' question. Did you ever talk to anyone at the Katz Law Firm? Yeah, great question. Answer quickly.
That's an important question. The answer is yes or no. And then what he said was okay. He said, about this, not that I know of. And you know what? It's impossible in Washington, D.C. not to talk to somebody from an opposing firm, almost certainly.
Correct.
There's a very small town.
Correct.
That's not what she was asking him. She said, did you talk to somebody at the Katz firm about this subject?
Yeah, about this subject.
But as a judge and about somebody who's about to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court, you should know if you talked about somebody like that. You should know that. Because you know the political ramifications. This is not some first-year graduate who might have gotten a little too much to drink and said something he shouldn't have. This isn't a first-year judge who, you know, made a mistake. This is 12 years on the federal bench. He was the one who was part of Ken Starr's investigation in the Clintons. By the way, that whole Clinton thing was incredibly stupid. And he's now up to be a justice on the Supreme Court and can't remember a conversation about a privileged subject that should not have been talked about. How do you not know that?
How do you not know that you talked to how many lawyers that had come from different firms? So he didn't want to impugn himself. She said, did you talk to a lawyer about this subject with this firm? And he says, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're asking me here because I talked to a lot of lawyers.
But if you're at his level, come on. When I was at Jacobs and people would ask me, did you talk to this person over at Pearson's or whatever? Yeah. In fact, we were in Cambridge and we had dinner. Did you talk about this? Yeah, as we did. Okay, and it's like, well, why'd you talk about that? It's like, we didn't talk about details. We were just saying, yeah, we have a competing bid going on, and you know, and that's all I said. I said, yeah, I know that. But that's such a small subject, but I knew it, and I'm not probably smarter than he is. Again, that's foiled. Sure, he can say, well, I don't remember. You know, I'm not sure. You can say that, and that can't be proven positively or dispositively.
Yeah.
However, it's not a stupid question.
The way she asked it, answer carefully, and he's like, "Do you know something I don't know?"
She probably did, but the fact
she didn't because that you don't do that. That's not that matter. She was baiting him into trying to say something.
Okay, so when she attacks him a little bit, and he attacks a senator, but it's okay. You're glad he did, and you think
I don't
she was
know.
Stupid.
I didn't say I'm okay that she attacked. He didn't attack her. He just said, "Do you do that?"
Because senator, no. He didn't say it like that. He goes, "No, senator. Did you?
Okay. Is that attacking?" How do you define attacking, Mike?
Mark, watch words. Words matter. The way they're spoken matters. The same words can be
but
said.
But you just said attack. That's not an attack. It's defense.
I think it's an attack.
He defended. It was a defense.
No. Defense is, no, ma'am, I did not. Or, I can't recall. Yes. Let me get back to you. That's a defense. Saying, I don't know. Did you? Bitch.
Yeah.
That's an attack.
No,
an attack.
Where did the bitch come from? Who said that?
I was. That's what I. That's what you could hear. I didn't say he said that.
Right. That's what you interpret. I get it. You interpreted
he's a
that.
Senator. He's talking to a sitting senator on the Judiciary Committee for his appointment.
Right.
To this
and even and what did he say? He goes, look, ask me questions about the incident. Instead, they're asking him questions about drinking and college.
Mark, the problem with that is
what?
He doesn't get to tell them what to ask him. They're the
yes, but they. He even said it right. He said, "You have the ability to investigate right now, right here with me." That was the.
No. They have the ability to do whatever the fuck they want.
That's right, and they didn't. And he goes, "Ask me right here," and they didn't. They're asking him what they're asking about boofing. Ask him about what's this game? What's this game?
God damn it, Mark. God damn it. This is what I can't stand.
But I just what did that
Judge Judge Kavanaugh does not get to tell them what to ask
he
him.
Did I say tell them? He said, look, to your point, I'm saying, Michael, to your point. They had the ability, like he said, you can investigate me. You have me right here. You're asking me the stupidest questions.
They don't, neither you nor he gets to decide if
because I understand, Michael. I don't disagree with that. He was making a good point, and the point is that they're trying to smear his name by painting him as an alcoholic, blacking out, passing, and as if you're a judge, you're going.
Drinking. Nobody has ever accused him of being an alcoholic. Never.
No, hold on a second. Hold on. They were that's what his point he was making is that you're asking me these questions about drinking. You're asking me these questions about these games. Instead of asking him the questions about you want to investigate, I'll answer. But instead, by asking those questions, you put out into the public a forum that you're trying to paint a picture that I was drinking, I was a drunk. By constantly asking those questions, you paint a picture, indirectly telling the public this guy is unsuited. That's a process. That's what lawyers do,
it's not,
Michael.
You think I don't understand that? But that's not his point. He's got no right and should never have said that. He's in a job interview. When somebody asks you in a job interview, did you ever do this or this or this? You can say, I can't answer that question, but you can't say, well, you really shouldn't ask me that. That's not how it works. It's not the way it goes. And so for him to sit there and say, you shouldn't ask me about my drinking because it's a little uncomfortable and I don't really want to talk about it, and you shouldn't ask me about this or that because, you know, I do kind of look stupid when I wrote boofing in my yearbook and Devil's Triangle. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. You should ask me about my judicial record. Well, but we know your judicial record because Trump had released 7%. Oh, wait, we don't know about your judicial record because 93% of your shit hasn't been released.
It's the equivalent of going to a job interview. Like you said, it's a job interview, and they're asking questions. Hey, when you were 6 years old, did you ever touch your penis? When you were 6 years old, did you – when you were a kid, did you
– 17. He was 17. He was an adult.
I'm exaggerating the point, but the point is the same.
Ask six-year-olds questions in court.
I gotcha, Michael. I'm just exaggerating.
Exaggerate. If you're going to exaggerate, at least
exaggerate. When you were 17 years old, did you – you're asking me, did you cross the yellow line when you were driving? Did you pick your nose? Did you speak ill to your parents? You know, it's like you're asking me about a job interview of what I did 36 years ago?
If somebody had said, hey, when you were 17 years old, did you ever masturbate? If he said, that's none of your business, say, well, okay, fair enough, but did you? He said no, then he'd be lying.
So what a sham of an interview process because they were trying to paint a picture. That's my point, Michael.
No, but it's not a good point. It's a shit point.
No, that's the way I see it.
No, but okay, fair enough. But the reason the point I think is invalid is because there's nothing in the Constitution that says what a senator can and cannot ask. There's nothing that says it has to be directly relevant to an investigation. There's nothing that says a witness or somebody in sitting there has the right to tell a sitting senator on the committee what to ask him or her. There's nothing that says she broke any protocol, any law, anything in history. There's nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
I understand. But he didn't he wasn't telling a senator what to ask. He was pointing out to them that you're asking me these ridiculous questions when you could ask me anything you want to know. Instead, you're asking me about what I did when I was 36 years ago. So here's something you said.
That's ridiculous.
So you said something. You said something last week on our last show that when I brought up to you about the presumption of innocence, and you're like, it's not a criminal investigation.
Not even civil, so there is no presumption.
Gotcha. Right. So, and this is where I wanted to get on the shifting standards that I find that a lot on the left kind of do, is that we have a standard in the Constitution. When you're under criminal investigation, you're innocent until proven guilty. It's a pretty good one, and that's a really damn good
It's a great one. I'm 100%
for it. We have it for a damn good reason, because then you have things like McCarthyism. Then you have the Salem witch hunts, and you just accuse people. Right. I gotcha. So we want to take the standard that works so well, but when it doesn't, when it's in this area, we don't want to do it. Why? Because it doesn't suit your political ends, Michael?
Who went through 7 investigations. They didn't find a single thing wrong. Hold on.
That's right.
Okay. And then, they yell at the fucking rallies, lock her up. Trump's over there going, lock her up. Mike Flynn, Jeff Sessions, lock her up. Where is the presumption of innocence there?
If you want to go back to the Clinton and email scandals.
Where was the presumption? When you say lock her up, you're saying she's guilty.
I mean, look, you can say she's guilty in the public forum. You can do whatever you want outside. But now you're in a process. This is different.
Yeah, but they were saying it.
Yeah, well, they were saying it in the news. They were saying it outside. Anyone can say anything they want. You got that. But when you're in a process, this is a little different. This is a little organized.
She was running for president of the United States, and that became a rallying cry, and they smeared her reputation, and they did all the horrible things that you're accusing.
Well, I mean, she smeared her own reputation. She was just
Kavanaugh, but in any case, but she was investigated for 4 years, $70 million in 7 different investigations, and they didn't come up with an indictment. They didn't even come up with – they came up with a slap on the wrist. That was it. Yet – $70 million later and lock her up.
Yeah. They stopped saying lock her up. I mean, that doesn't seem to sense anymore.
They said one of the Trump rallies.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Don't give me presumption of innocence shit.
But that does work. That does work. If you want to say it works here and where it doesn't work there, I'm not saying, hey, lock her up. Do you hear me saying that? No.
No, I didn't accuse you. I don't think I accused
you.
I
didn't say that. Do I think she's shifty and there's a lot of things that didn't get – a lot of truth that just didn't get uncovered? Yeah, I think she's probably done some stuff, just like I know Trump has done stuff. That's illegal.
That's okay.
Again, but
that's
in this
okay
case, I don't want to lose that – I don't want to ever lose that presumption of – especially a guy who's in the public forum right now – for a seat on the land, being judged, and he's being judged by the public. And I don't want anyone – look, I still want that standard to exist. Look, he's innocent until proven guilty, but we've let that go.
He's not in jail. He's not being indicted by the
Maryland. The public has already impugned him with that. I'm watching videos all over, and you hear these people
– Foster committed suicide, and all the people were like, oh, it was really a Clinton conspiracy, blah, blah. Again, I'm going back years, but I'm saying, but the notion – and so President Clinton was guilty of orchestrating Vince Foster's suicide. There was no presumption of innocence. There was none.
I don't know enough about it to have that discussion with you.
Okay. Now let's go to some others. Eric Holder. Fast and Furious, which was started during the Bush administration, the arms smuggling into Mexico to arm the insurgents against the drug dealers. And it went bad. I have good friends to this day that say Eric Holder was guilty of a vast conspiracy and should be in jail. Okay, where's the presumption of innocence there? Especially since there was investigations and nobody found anything. Oh, they were just controlling the investigations. Yeah, well, maybe, but I doubt it since there were several of them. Where's the presumption of innocence there?
Well, I didn't.
It's very easy to say.
I didn't impugn the guy, and nor am I saying people should do it. In this case right now, I'm saying let's have these standards exist. If we want to bring back any civility, we have to adhere to something. And
so that's something we can agree to. You and I.
Okay, right. And so right now, have the Republicans that have done this in the past? Yes. You can cite examples and say, yes, they have done. And unfairly, complete to anyone. And right now, we're noticing this is all I'm pointing as out. Right now, this is happening right now, and it's coming from the left. I'm not saying that the right is free of any harm.
There,
correct. But I want to return civility, and we have to hold that true. And
okay, so how do we do that? Let's go back. Let's brass tack this thing. So you and I are never going to probably agree on Kavanaugh, but that's okay. He may get in, and he may not. I would like to think that if he's innocent, he should be in, even though I think he's an ideologue that I don't approve of his policies. That's not the standard that you hold a judge to confirm out of the Supreme Court. So just to be clear on that. But the real issue that we're talking about here and that you and I keep going around and around and around and around on is I'm saying, look, the Democrats are playing beanbag because they're getting them back. And I don't blame them. Okay. I don't blame them at all, because there should be a liberal on the court right now, and there's not. And that's because of dirty, shitty politics. Now, to sit there and accuse them of dirty, shitty politics is a little disingenuous. But the point you're making, which I think is a good one, and we need to have, is how do we get out of this mess? It used to be – I think the way out is the following. Go back to the filibuster rule, right? Make sure you get 60 senators to approve any nomination for and 60 votes in the Senate, period, for everything. Because that's the way it worked for almost
right now, it's what, 50?
50. It's a pure majority. But that's – Harry Reid started this denigration, and I agree with that. And I didn't agree that he did it then, and Mitch McConnell continued it, and I didn't agree with that. Go back to what's called regular order. John McCain himself used to say, let's get back to regular order. 60 votes was the threshold, not in the Constitution, but for 200 years, 200-plus years. It worked. Right. When the Republicans were in the majority, it worked. When the Democrats were in the majority, it worked, because it forces people to be civil to each other.
So then why did Harry Reid change it?
I don't know why. I'm not Harry Reid. Well, because he did it for political expediency. Let's be honest. So did Mitch McConnell with Merrick Garland. He did it for political expediency. But that doesn't make it right. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. So the very first thing I would do is demand of our senators to go back to the 60-vote rule on everything, number one. And it works. It just does. Second thing I would do is I would say in a committee on anything that involves Supreme Court justices or anything else, yes, you need to do things in private before you take them public. So Feinstein got this letter. She wanted to remain anonymous. Okay. I think that in the future she should have gone to the leader of the committee and said, look, there's serious things here. Let's together do an investigation into this. Let's not, you know, make it public, but let's actually take a look. Let's ask the White House to ask the FBI to take a look into this, right? Don't name the woman. She needs to remain anonymous, but we can look into this. I think that would have been better. I think that unless there's 50 days or less left in administration, you put the nomination forward, because that's what's always been done. Like I said, in Eisenhower, he had 170 days left in the Democrat Congress, and they still approved his choice, right? Because that was the way the confirmation process is supposed to do. You're not supposed to hold people up politically. You're supposed to advise and consent. They didn't talk about advise and consent being smear and condone. They didn't even bother to give him an advise and consent. They didn't even bother to do that. And that's what the Constitution says they're supposed to do. You want to get back to regular order? You want to stop this horse shit? I do. Those are three simple things that we could do. That's the way they used to be.
Yeah,
and it worked for 200 years.
It's a good point that I can agree with. There you go. I do agree with that. It's gotten so bifurcated and hostile between each other that no one's working at all with each other. It's just one against the other.
You fucked me, guess what I'm going to do when I get a chance.
What's that?
You fucked me, so guess what I'm going to do when I get the chance. And that's bad. That's wrong. It's not good. So at least we can agree on that. Look, Brett Kavanaugh, he's either going to be a casualty or he's not.
And my thing is, I don't want him to be a casualty. I think that's where my ire comes from. I don't want a man to go down just based on an accusation. If it's true, I want it. It should have came out a while ago. I disagree with you that we should have had an investigation right now. It should have happened when they found out. But we're not going to go back on that. That this could have been handled back then. I think it could have. I don't want to repeat that, because obviously that's not neither here nor there. But I still don't want to impugn a man in his career and his reputation over an accusation which is now showing to have holes in it. And okay,
you know what's going to happen?
What?
So the Democrats are almost certainly going to take back the House. They very well may take back the Senate.
Right.
But if they take back the House, you know what they're going to do? They're going to open an investigation into Trump, and they're going to open an investigation into Kavanaugh. So now we're going to have
here's the thing. Can a sitting judge be
– impeached, yes. Absolutely.
Has it ever happened in history?
Once. He was found innocent.
Who?
He didn't – I don't remember. It was in 1803 or 1802. I don't remember. It was right after this.
What was the allegation?
I don't know enough about it. Let me take a look, but, you know
– Was that murder or something? Or
No. Hold on. Supreme Court impeachment. So there we go. March 1st, 1805, the only Supreme Court justice to have been impeached, his name was Chase, Justice Chase. I said 1803 is 1805. Oh, it was because he violated the – Samuel Chase. Okay, that's right. That's right. He was started in 1804 but was acquitted in 1805. But he was impeached because he didn't follow the good behavior clause. There's a clause for good behavior.
Look at that. See how those standards just – those standards got lifted pretty quickly in our time.
Well, but the point is it happened once right after right. Our Constitution was taken. It happened – it can happen. So they can definitely impeach him without question. There's absolutely no reason why he can't
but still, they would still need the majority – does the president have to approve that? 60,
no, no. Fuck no. Fuck no.
Just the Senate can approve it.
67 votes in the Senate. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean I'm sure that you know they'll have Democratic majority but
– but the fact is, that's not the point. They wouldn't be doing it because they know they're going to impeach him. The Republicans didn't impeach Clinton because they knew they were going to win. They impeached him because for political purposes. They're going to impeach Kavanaugh and Trump for political purposes. That's not very shocking. Now, I think the impeachment thing, I think the Republicans impeaching Clinton was stupid as fuck. I think impeaching Nixon was the right thing to do. He resigned before they did. But articles of impeachment were drafted. But the Clinton thing was stupid, and it was purely political. So now the Democrats are going to get their pound of flesh, and that's what we talked about earlier. I mean, it's the way it's going to go. And that's another reason why I think, yeah, get rid of Kavanaugh. Put another person in there. Nobody's going to impeach Gorsuch. The guy's not worth the baggage.
Okay, well, that's enough said on that, Michael. I think I'm kind of fading out on this one. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Yeah, it got heated, and we had to stop and come back, and I'm glad we had it too.
It was a little more civil this time. Obviously, we both agree and disagree on many of these facets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay, and I'll keep coming at you, and you'll keep giving me whatever it is you give me.
Well, this is a shitstorm, right? This is what we do.
Oh well,
and that's okay. By the way, the important thing here is that, and we had to talk offline a little bit, but the civility and the recognition is what's important. You are entitled, and I do not hold your viewpoint against you. In fact, I relish it. We wouldn't have a podcast without our differences. And people listen on both sides of the aisle. Actually, people are listening in multiple different countries. We picked up 4 different countries today.
That's amazing. Actually. That's exciting to us. That's really exciting.
Yeah. And so people are listening and people have an opinion and this is all good. And I don't want to not have a conversation on this. And I think we actually came to a point where we can agree, which is also a good thing. The thing that I'm sick and tired of, and I told you earlier, it makes me nauseous. And I do get nauseous. The political climate in this country, I don't ever remember feeling that before Trump. And I think it's because of him. I'm not sure. I can't say that for certainty, but I think it is. Because he is such a bombastic fool, and he energizes other people to be the same way. But I don't want to be like that. I think we're better than this. And I think we can be friends and still have differences of opinions politically, religiously, and everything else. When you start vilifying people who don't agree with you, that's when things become really bad. Just because I don't think he's qualified to be on the Supreme Court for my own reasons, most of it has to do with temperament, by the way. I've already said, judicially, I think he is qualified. I don't think he's a shit person, and I'm not going to think that without proof. I still don't want him on the court. I don't think you're a bad person as you've turned more right than left, because you used to be more left than right. That's okay. That happens to people. I remember having a conversation with somebody who once said, as you get older, you become more conservative. And that's 90% true. And I said, but I'm the exact opposite. I started out as a conservative Republican.
I think William Blake said it, if you're not a socialist when you're 20s, you have no heart. If you're not a Republican or a conservative, but when you're in your 50s, you have no head. Something like that.
But that's it's a paraphrase. That's
right,
good, though.
Right.
But I was definitely not a socialist in my 20s, and I'm definitely not a conservative in my 50s.
Well, that's interesting because I certainly was much on the left. I think I started my youth out as a Republican, and then living in California, being an actor and going that route, I certainly became more left, certainly progressive and liberal, and I did firmly embrace a lot of it. I think – I don't know what happened recently, but things have changed for me. I think maybe because I've seen a lot of – I feel like a lot – we can have this discussion some other time, and you don't have to comment.
Yeah, let's save it for a podcast because it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I feel like the left is starting to eat itself. I find too many kind of things that are happening from the left that is becoming really damaging and scary to me. You know, university protests that don't allow free speech and this, you know, this onslaught.
We're going to save all this for a podcast.
Yeah, of course. I just wanted to, I kind of want to have my ending conversation here. And I think, you know, and you should hit me up on this again where I think that I'm glad I think that we're starting to elevate this mentality, this corporate human resources mentality into our social political structure. And I think it's dangerous. And we'll discuss that. But with Kavanaugh.
No, I think that's a good point. I think it's a great, by the way.
Yeah.
I know we disagree on this point, but it is a great conversation to have.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just kind of going my process. Like, well, I did. I switched recently. I went back. And maybe it's because of this podcast with you.
I think I will say to you,
Yes.
Since the podcast started, there's been a decidedly right veer.
Correct.
Not a turn. It's a veer.
And maybe because I'm listening to both sides and I go, I don't agree with the left. And I understand your disdain of the right. And I felt the same way. I still do about a lot of things and tactics they employ. I'm not completely exonerating the right, but I'm certainly more scary of the left right now. And I wish there was a third party that didn't happen.
It's found one.
I mean – But, you know, getting back to this Kavanaugh, I think the reason why I felt vehemently against it is because I just feel like we're elevating what's called an ideology on the left about certainly the idea of people think there's this myth culture going on, or, you know, rape culture, and we're exploiting this idea that there's a oppression of women and that we have angry white men, and we're using Kavanaugh as a pawn of being this privileged white man, which is in the dialogue. It's in there, and it's being politicized. So I don't like that. I feel that is horrible. I think that's way more pernicious. I mean, there's political reasons for doing things, and it's dirty and disgusting, but I find this now going a little deeper and more insidious because it's spreading out into our culture where we're impugning people because they're white or because we have this white privilege.
I think
it's getting to that level where we're starting to have those conversations. I mean, the media is pushing that narrative, and that scares me.
I think you got to be a little careful with that, and the only reason I say that is you're now accusing it of being a blatantly racist media, and I think that that's a very difficult thing to – as much as I dislike Fox News, first of all, I don't consider it news, but I've never accused them of being overtly racist, and I think that's a very difficult road to go down, and I think it's also wrong. And an individual act of racism – what's his name? The Rupert Murdoch credibly accused of sexual harassment while he owned Fox News. Okay, well, that's okay. Then that makes him a sexual predator. And he resigned over it, and he's not going to court. But that doesn't mean Fox News is. And I think there's some very good reporters and journalists like Shep Smith, and even Neil Cavuto, who I don't agree with much, and Chris Wallace. These guys are pretty rock solid guys.
All I'm saying is that the narrative being pushed out into the forefront, even by the media, and they're doing it by little. By nuggets when they show, hey, you know, this is the cabinet, there's only two black members on there. Okay, right there, you're starting to create this racial tension there. Why don't we have black people on board? Why are there a lot of white men? And I mean, it's gotten to the point where there was a medical school that people took down all the pictures of all the doctors of the past because they were all white.
Let me ask you a question on this,
right?
Just quickly.
Yeah.
Should the Confederate statues come down?
Should the Confederate statues come down? I haven't thought of that much.
And I'll give you my answer.
Here's the thing, and I have to admit, I think I agree with Condoleezza Rice on this one. I usually don't. But she's like, be careful, man. Don't destroy the history. You want to kind of keep it at the forefront of what happened to get to this place. So because if we forget it and we impugn the past, it's kind of like this idea that we're cleaning the history. We got to get all that out of society. Like, no, you want to remember it, man. I mean, that's how you move forward.
I agree with that. Agree with that statement. But how many countries have statues of enemies they defeated? Remember, these aren't heroes of America. These are the guys who tried to secede from the United States. These are guys who tried to take down the Republic. How many countries We don't have any statues of Nazis. We don't have any statues of Japanese people who fought against us. We don't have Emperor Hirohito on a square in California.
Right.
This was
a big part of America's history, too.
But this was a country. They chose to leave the United States and establish their own country.
Correct. They didn't agree with But these are in states that were actually pro.
But they were a country, right? Let's face it. They had their own constitution, their own president, their own bank, their own army, their own everything. How many Israeli statues are on Palestinian territory, or how many Egyptian soldiers have statues in Israel? This is not a war against Arkansas versus Virginia. This is the United States of America against the Confederate States of America. They lost.
Correct.
So why would we erect statues to them?
We're not erecting any more statues. These statues have just been there.
Why would we keep any? They're a vanquished enemy who tried to tear apart our country.
Well, look, the state has the right to do whatever they want, okay?
It's
their state.
They do and they don't. That's partially true and partially not true.
Well, it's their state. Obviously, they're funding the states. I mean, it's not federally funded statues.
No. But if they're on universities that receive federal dollars, which they are in many cases, then they don't have the right to put that statue.
I guess it all depends on the point of view of the statue. Are they elevating them to are they saying, hey, let's elevate them to the status of we missed this leadership, or are we condemning what they did?
My daughter lives in Lexington, Kentucky.
Right.
There's a square in Lexington, beautiful city, absolutely gorgeous city. Anybody who's never been should go. And there's a square called Cheapside. And the reason it's called Cheapside is because on the one side is the courthouse and the other side was at the time a field. And on the side where the field was, that's where you got the cheap slaves. That was the cheap side. And on the part where the courthouse was where you got the apparently good slaves, because Lexington was a crossroad for slave trade. More importantly, there's a statue of, and I don't know which one, of a Confederate general in the square riding his horse in full military regalia from the Confederacy with his sword up in the air. And that's where you got the good slaves.
Yeah, I guess there's people in the South that feel strongly about that past.
You tell me if you think you're condemning him or making him a hero.
I'm not making anyone a hero or condemning him.
No. What I'm saying, that statue. Just saying the optics are clear.
Well, I guess how they're interpreting it. So I would say this. In regard to that, I'm not saying I'm not going to pass any law that I'm for or against it. The states want to have it. You go down there and you know what you're kind of getting. Perhaps we're coming to the place where people are saying, let's take it down. And I'm okay with that.
Actually, you know what's happening? The number one state in the nation who's leading the charge in terms of removing Confederate statues, this answer I think will surprise you. You know what state that is?
Tennessee.
Texas.
It's all right.
And, by the way, I think Beto O'Rourke might actually win. I think Texas is just turning blue as hell.
Well, I know that Austin is very, very blue.
Oh, dude, blue as hell.
And there's a lot of people that live there. So, the Confederate statues, take them down if you want, but I certainly don't want to forget our history because
– I don't think we should. But technically, the Confederacy is not the U.S. history. It's the Confederacy history. They lost. They just didn't – they weren't around very long, but they were still a country. It's not – Confederacy history is not U.S. history.
No. You can't separate the two. You can't say it was Confederacy history. It's part of the history of the United States. We fought a big war for it, and people died.
I think the Civil War is part of the United States history.
That's right, and they fought the Confederacy. So it's like saying – that's why you have to kind of – don't forget
that. That's like saying German history is American history. It's not. That's the foe we vanquished. Even though German and Americans fought, that's true. But German history is not part of American history. Confederacy is a foe we fought.
Yeah, but we're not. But I'm not calling. I'm not saying it's Confederacy history.
The only
history.
Reason you call them Americans is because they were once Americans. If they had won,
probably more significant because we shared the same land and same borders with them.
But if they had won,
right?
Nobody would say that's part of American history anymore. It's only because they lost that we're saying that.
Okay, interesting point. I'd have to think about that. But nonetheless. In closing here, I think that I understand our disagreement, and I'm gonna probably oppose you a lot of the way, only because
<I'm fine. laughs>
I find it to be enjoyable, and I think I've certainly taken a lot more, and I'll go into more detail why I have a big problem with the left and why I'm equating it with the Democratic Party,
and that's a good conversation too.
I really like to get into that because it's really certainly more philosophical, and it will get closer to why I certainly think this way and feel this way now, and maybe it'll clarify a few things. So maybe that'll be the next podcast. So
Well, I think the next podcast should be non-political. Just on, I'd like to talk about. We can talk about. We'll figure out what next podcast.
Yeah, and so you know, we'll find out what's going to happen with the Kavanaugh hearings. Certainly in the next couple of days, I will just say this an ending. I don't want to impugn anyone over an accusation. If something happened, then it'll be found out, or maybe not. But it sounds like there's holes in the story, which kind of I felt the same way. I think that there was a – I was telling you we should call – you know, I think that Christie Blasey Ford had a placebo effect. She believed it and created it because there's a lot of information that's coming out that's saying, she's not quite right about this. So anyway, I don't want to impugn a man. I don't want us to get to this point where we're doing witch hunts, that we're accusing someone and then we're just killing their career, because that's what's happening.
But it's also what happened in Bill Cosby's case, and it turned out to be true. The same process took place. These women were completely ignored, completely ignored, completely ignored.
They yes, that's, that, well, what happened was it finally came out that all the same women had the same story, so, and they were corroborated.
Right.
But,
so,
you know, in this case
– at first it was like, yeah, but if you go back 15 years with Cosby, it looked a lot the same. I'm not saying that says anything about Brett Kavanaugh. There's a process.
The two other people that came out and said the same thing, they're finding that
there's 14 people are
Ramirez was the big one, and Swetnick. And so those are the ones that sworn statements, and those
are the ones. Okay, but what about the people who are coming forward who are
I can't speak to that. I don't know about that, and it's not all over the news, because I don't think – I'm looking on CNN's front page, and it's not there. So obviously it's not credible.
That's not true.
If it's not on their front page, they would be advertising it.
Well, but again, I'd be careful with that. But in any case, let's go back to the civility part. We need to be more civil, and we have differences, and differences are okay. So let's end it there, and
yes.
Then we can have another podcast about basically anything we want. And just to tell our listeners, we are. Today is through the roof. We've added four countries today, and we have an all-time high, and I'm grateful.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We really appreciate you listening to us.
And I'm going to put the ways to get a hold of us on our website, and I'm also going to standardize them so that we have only one, you know, to the extent that I can, it'll be SHT Storm Podcast. So whether it's that.com, whether it's that at Facebook, whether it's that at Twitter, whether it's that at Instagram. But in the meantime, I will put the existing ones down, and they will automatically be moved and pointed over.
Yeah.
I won't bother them here, but I'll put them on the podcast.
And Michael's putting all our on the show notes. You can just reach us there and give us a comment. Always be civil, please. Always be civil.
That's all
we
ask.
This is how we're gonna have to start it. We're gonna change the process. We have to do it with each other. So. Mike and I will be uncivil for you at times.
Hopefully not often.
That's true. Agreed. All right, Michael, this was a good one. And I look forward to the next conversation with you.
Me too. And I'll talk to you guys soon. It was great talking with you guys, and hopefully you'll give us your feedback. And thanks again for your support. We're growing, and it's really super rewarding to be able to talk with you, but also to see that you're talking with us. With your votes or your subscriptions.
Roger that. All right. Over now.
Okay. Bye.